Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is a gospel just read, taken from St. Luke chapter 14. So what is humility and what is pride? These are kind of the two polar opposites that we hear in all of our readings this morning. Humility, or humbleness, generally means, first of all, thinking of others before yourself. It's the opposite of pride. It means looking at things as they really are, not as you wish them to be, not as you would want them to be. It means looking in the mirror and recognizing the warts, recognizing all of the faults, all of the problems. But it also means hearing and receiving God's grace and mercy, because that's what God comes to give. Now, in our text this morning, it starts by saying that Jesus was going to a dinner at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, and that they watched him closely. This is one of the characteristics of pride. Pride is always looking elsewhere. Pride is always comparing, always measuring, always striving to put itself first by belittling others. And so the Pharisees looked at Jesus. They were suspicious. He seemed too good to be true. They wanted him to slip up. They wanted him to be just like them. In fact, they wanted him to be worse than them. They wanted to be able to prove that he wasn't the end all, that he wasn't the Messiah. They wanted to prove that the people still needed them. That's what pride does. It does it in them, and it does it in you, and it does it in me. So while they're sitting at the table here, eating, a man comes to them with dropsy. Dropsy, called edema today, is a terrible disease where fluid gathers in the skin. It's frankly disgusting and very visible. In Jesus' day, the assumption was if you had something like dropsy, this was a sign of a moral lapse. You had sinned. You had done something really bad for God to afflict you with something this nasty. So the prideful one will look at someone like this and say, "Thank God I'm not like them. I don't have their problems. I may have my own problems, but they're not nearly that bad." But Jesus does just the opposite. While they want to stand back and be slightly afraid, kind of askance at this man, Jesus comes up to him and heals him. He looks at the man's need more than the man's status, his standing, and how it's going to affect him. See, that's what the law actually teaches, even though we don't want to see it sometimes, is that the law teaches that we are to look to others above ourselves, that we should seek to find what others need, that we should go out of our way to help others, not to try and get others to help us. The purpose of the law is not to get us to heaven. The purpose of the law is to show us our neighbor's need, so that by God's mercy and grace, we can help them. It's not how the Pharisees saw it. And so, Jesus then uses a parable to explain kind of how these things work in the kingdom of God. The parable of the wedding feast. Jesus loved telling stories about weddings. I think Jesus must have liked weddings or something. Jesus says, you go to a wedding, and when you go to a wedding, don't sit in the prime spot. Don't go and act as if you own the place and expect that you are, in fact, the guest of honor. It's not your wedding. It's kind of what he's saying. Can you imagine someone going to a wedding and kind of sitting right where the bride and groom are supposed to sit? We'd look at them and say, man, that is outrageous. Nobody should do that. And yet Jesus says, this is precisely how we all live and work and act. We live and work and act as if we are the center of the universe. As if we are the ones who everyone else revolves around. Repent. That's how we view the law. We look at the law as a way of limiting others. We look at the law as a way of getting other people to serve us, not the other way around. We look at the law as a way of kind of proving or demonstrating our own good behavior. We look at the law as a way of maybe making us feel bad, but especially of kind of giving focus to the way that we can point the finger at others. That's how pride uses the law. I think that's why pride is such a danger and such a challenge for Christians. Everyone has problems with pride, of course, but it does seem like one of the chief criticisms of Christians is basically that we're hypocrites, which I think is another way of saying we're prideful. Paul exhorts us to walk worthy of the calling in which we have been called with all humility. But by nature, we look out for number one. We take the highest seat, or, and this might even be worse, we have kind of a fake humility, a false humility, which is sort of another way of asking people if they would build you up. Well, I didn't really do that much. Oh, yes, you did. You did it all and more. I think that's why pride is such a problem for Christians. But Jesus, our Lord, paints a very different picture of what it means to be divine. He heals the man. He feeds the multitudes, the greatest and the least, the Pharisees and the tax collectors, the sinners, the ones in need. In fact, Jesus heals and feeds and welcomes everyone who comes into his presence. The only ones who Jesus doesn't help are the ones who refuse to receive what Jesus has to give. I guess we could say that Jesus is the humble God. I think that's kind of a strange picture for you and I. We don't think of humility as a character trait of God, and yet it is. God, above all things, looks out for you and for me. Above himself, he who spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how can he not with him also freely give us all things? St. Paul wrote. That's God's character, dearly beloved. That's God's nature. God's nature is to seek you, to try and help, to give of himself above all things. He does it this day in the waters of holy baptism, which Brianne received not too long ago. He does it every week by giving us his body and blood, truly the most expensive meal you and I will ever receive. Ask of him what you will, because he cares for you. So Jesus this day teaches us about pride and humility. He teaches us, first of all, to receive him, because he is the one who can give you all things. Jesus is the one who loves you. He's the one who cares for you. He's the one who gives himself to you. Believe it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.